and a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Elijah Campbell manning the board at the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Derek, we are going to have one heck of a show, or at least a good first hour, because nothing could ruin my first hour.
I see that.
Because I have made a stop before coming in here to the Hillside Medical Game Studio. The first letter begins with a B, and it ends with angles.
Bangles?
First letter B ends with angles. And I've got myself some potato cakes.
Potato cakes in the house.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Or as they call it, starts with a B, and they call it Bo, and you fill in the blank. Yeah, I've got my potato cakes.
I thought you meant Bucky's. Starts with a B, ends with an E.
Willie, I'm just telling you, the suit was in here. Did that just cut out when I did that? Or was that my headphones?
I thought it was just your headphones.
Okay, all right. The suit was in here, and I was telling D-Mace in the suit, Bucky's took a life of its own on the air, but it took a life of its own off the air, too. I can't tell you how many people said something to me yesterday about Bucky's.
Bucky's is blowing up.
I don't know why we spent so much time talking about the Titans yesterday. Hell, we should have just been talking about Bucky's.
It's
been an award-winning show.
That Beaver's a rock star, man. Bucky Beaver.
I was like, you know how many great topics we had, great segments we had yesterday? Talking about the Titans. We heard Mike Vrabel. I mean, there was some really good stuff in there. Yeah. And not one person yesterday said anything other than Bucky's.
Yeah, well, Bucky's is Bucky's, man. Bucky's reminded me of my favorite movie. It was like, brush up, on Grease, when they were in the room, the girls were in the room.
You lost me. I'm sorry.
When the girls were in the room and they were.
Hey, I'm going to stick another bow beep in my mouth.
Look at me. I'm Sandra D. It's just all this stuff. That's my favorite movie.
I'm with you on Grease.
Exactly.
Just don't talk about Grease 2.
Oh, Grease 2 was horrible, man.
Don't talk Grease 2.
That can never be played in my house. Grease 2?
No.
Never.
No, that's a disqualifier.
I kick you out if you ever talk about playing Grease 2 on my television. I kick you out.
But we're talking Grease 1. I'm in. I'm all in. I saw it in the theater. I'm all over. Had the soundtrack. Had the record.
Oh, I still got the record. Absolutely, man. So Bucky the Beaver reminds me of that part when all the girls are in the bedroom and the girls like, "Brush up, brush up." The commercial came on, like, "Brush up, brush up, brush up." Oh man, the young kids are probably like, "What are you talking about?"
or the old kids like me sitting there, huh? Guess it's been a while.
Oh man,
I need to get caught up on Grease.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I thought not even Top Gun. Not even, you know, conversation about Top Gun Maverick yesterday. Nothing.
For what?
It was all about Bucky's, man.
Hey, Bucky supersede all that.
I guess. Now Willie will have to experience it for himself.
Yes.
And the doors will open and he'll be like, oh, and there'll be like a light.
And take a bite of that brisket sandwich and his pupils will get like that big.
They'll be
around.
Like one of his cutting edge music songs play right as he walks through the front entrance. Then it goes, you know, like the record scratch. And then it's like chaos. Woo, 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 woo. People running around everywhere and he's going like, holy crap, what just happened?
Again, that reminded me of a part in a SpongeBob episode. When SpongeBob went into his own head.
They're setting everything on fire. Exactly. And like paper shredding everything.
Yes.
That would be Willie's. That's going to be Willie's first Bucky's experience.
Man. Goodness gracious.
Oh, we didn't get that. I'm not kidding. We had loaded lines yesterday. Yeah. Like I said, great Titan segments yesterday. Great discussions. Loaded lines on Bucky's. Mm-hmm. And I know one of them that wanted to weigh in was Nate. And he's now on the line with us on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate, what's up?
I've got some breaking news, fellas. As of January 14th, 2022,
The Murfreesboro Planning Commission approves Bucky's right-of-way abandonment. Over off of Joe B. Jackson Parkway, it looks like Bucky's might be coming to Murfreesboro.
Might be coming to Rutherford County, baby.
Oh,
all right, I'm
right around the corner.
Because we got bad info yesterday. Somebody on our text line said there was one in Laverne, and that is incorrect.
I am looking at the MurfreesboroPost.com, and as of January 14th, that's what it says.
Oh, January
14th. Do we have an opening that the date? That's when you're saying?
I don't know that there's an opening date, but they have definitely been discussing bringing it to Joe B. Jackson Parkway.
Okay.
Okay, well, there you go. Titans won a new stadium, and now Bucky's is coming in Rutherford County.
Nashville, baby. Yes. Thank you, Nate.
Man, double win.
There you go, right Rutherford there. County. They know
Rutherford
where to go.
County. There you go.
Heck yeah.
They'll be new stadium and new Bucky's.
They'll be printing money there, too.
They should just build a Bucky's right next to the stadium.
They should have a Bucky's in the stadium.
Heck.
They should have a sports book in the Bucky's and call it Bookies.
Bookies at Bucky's.
They'll be swimming in cash. They'll be spending more money in rubber bands to hold their cash than having actual cash.
That reminds
me
of another episode, DuckTales. Woo! When the father was diving in the money. Y'all remember that?
Yeah. I guess when you stepped away from 3D, you watched a lot of movies.
I just remember all this stuff from my kid days, man. Like, who doesn't remember DuckTales, man? Who does it? I mean, they had the rich grandfather. Like, he had like a cathedral full of just like cash. And he would go in there and just dive in it. Like, who does that? Wow, man. That was the stuff back in the day. So that's what that reminded me of too.
Billy, the Rangers? Rangers?
Wow. I was impressed. That was impressive.
Anyone?
I'll tell you what, I've been, as you know, I am a Mets fan. And I can tell you, I watch a lot of their broadcasts. I've never seen so much Rangers seeping in. The Mets have been playing the Rangers goals on the Jumbotron or on the big scoreboard, you know, after they score. There's a lot of Rangers jerseys in the stands. I've always associated more Mets fans with Islanders than the Rangers. But it reminds me of 2017 in that it's a run now. There's such a belief with the Rangers right now. It's just kind of taken over the city. It's getting to people that aren't usually following hockey that much. It's coming into the mainstream. And you know, the fact that they had the home ice over Tampa Bay, I think that they just kept that momentum going. And maybe the Lightning were a little rusty, having had
what,
a little more time
days?
Off.
Wasn't it nine?
Yeah, they had 9 days off. I just think put all that together, and you had a buzzsaw last night. They deserved to win, especially that second period. Man, they just
dominated.
Were awesome in
so
the
you,
second period.
So are you taking the Rangers?
Are you on board finally?
I'm not.
Are you on board finally?
I'm still taking the Lightning, but, man, I had to do a pause last night because I was impressed. Mika Zibanejad, here's one to think about, guys. Mika Zibanejad was a guy that the Rangers jumped in and locked in for an 8-year deal. And I think a lot of people are like, huh? Really? Is he that good? I would put him in kind of the Forsberg category, a star but not a superstar. But I think that's kind of why – that's the argument why you go ahead and lock those guys up, because maybe by the end of that contract he's not going to be the player he is right now. But right now he's a guy that's carrying that – like he is just on fire. You get him to puck on that one – he looks like Alex Ovechkin right now.
Yep.
You get him on that one-timer, he is on fire. He's just playing great. But that's an example of a guy that – signed the long-term deal where a lot of people are like, I don't know if that's a great buy. Because there's always going to be some 8-year deals that by the end of it, you're not going to like it that much. But that's why you sign those guys, because it's hard to replace players like that. And he's living up to it right now.
I think they're going to win the series.
Ooh.
Ooh. You're going with them, huh?
Yeah.
You're taking the Rangers over the two-time defending champion.
I don't know. That's, man. Why? Tampa's, what, won 10 straight playoff series? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think it's
about time.
It's their year. Huh? We've seen this happen.
Well, listen, they did.
The belief is there. Their fan base is going crazy. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
And they're going to be extremely hard to beat at MSG. I just think it's their year. I think it's their year. And look, I'm a little bit phony because I've been picking against Tampa this entire time.
You picked them to lose in the first round.
I did. So I've been wrong about Tampa. I just thought this was two times, was great. Third, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think the Rangers are going to win.
How many teams have when was the last three-peat in hockey?
What, Islanders, I guess? I don't know. Philly?
Yes, I think that's right. The Islanders won four in a row.
Ooh.
From 80 to 83, and then got to the finals for number five, and that's when Gretzky and his crew took over. But Gretzky and his crew never won three in a row, I don't think.
I don't think so.
They won a bunch, but they never strung together three straight, so I don't think it's happened since then.
Ooh, so
it definitely has not happened in the salary cap era. The salary cap era, it's never happened three in a row. So that's what Tampa's going for.
Well, they got an opportunity. I still pick them. Even losing the first game 6-2.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's just like any other sport.
Game. I mean,
you know, it's just like any other sport where you're playing a series, whether it's baseball, basketball, or hockey. If you're out for a while, like if you finished your series, your first round before a lot of other teams, and you're just sitting there waiting, that next following game is typically a tough one. You know, typically teams either barely win or they end up losing it and then coming back and just taking over the series. So that's what I'm looking for Tampa to do. Take over the series.
All right. We shall see. We'll come back, switch gears, talk a little bit about the Titans on the other side here on the DDC on this Thursday. ESPN 102.5 The Game and 106.3. We've got Nashville's best deal of the week. It's Beach Bend Amusement Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park, which you could have used yesterday and probably today. Buy one pass for $35.99, get one free now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Back here on the DDC, sad news out of San Francisco. Did you guys see this? Former running back Marion Barber found dead in an apartment in San Francisco.
It's in Frisco, Texas.
Frisco, Texas. Yeah. Sorry, but that's San Francisco. Frisco, Texas. Of course, he played for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. It happened, was it yesterday, the day before yesterday?
I think it was a couple days ago, but it just came out, yeah. I guess, today.
I saw
it last night.
That's when I saw it later in the evening yesterday.
I guess, have they come out with any details of what happened?
I've seen none.
Nope.
It's shocking. You know, this is a string of two or three now. You always get sad when you start seeing this. But I remember first time I saw him was at the Music City Bowl. Remember,
yep.
They had that.
Oh yeah,
that tandem at Minnesota. They had a really good team that came through.
I was doing the press box PA for that game.
Yeah, yep. I remember that. So sad news. Sad news.
He was a punishing running back.
Yes, very
big
punishing.
Dude, man.
6 years with Dallas, and then another year with Chicago, and then he
was
retired.
It Lawrence Maroney that was the other. They had two great,
yep.
NFL.
Yeah,
they did.
Two oncoming NFL runners, and everybody knew it at the time.
And they never really turned out to be as good as we thought, you know, from their days in college at Minnesota.
Yeah, he was playing. He was Marion was a part of the 1-2 punch with Dallas when they had, I think, Julius Jones. Was it Julius Jones Dallas had? And because he ended up going to the Pro Bowl.
Felix Jones?
No, Felix was they had these two brothers, Felix and Julius. It was two brothers that played in the NFL.
Well, Felix played for Dallas. I know that.
So it might have been Felix Jones.
Mm-hmm. I think it was.
And he was the backup to him, but they were like, you know, they did the whole 1-2 thing, you know. So
it's just, as you said, Willie, I think it's pretty scary because when you don't hear, you know, what's going on. I mean, I guess they had been called there because water was running in the apartment. And so I guess they were doing basically a checkup on what was going on because water was leaking from his apartment. And, of course, the police forced their way in and unfortunately found him dead in his apartment. So I have seen no details. I know he has a birthday, pretty sad birthday in 8 days. He would have a birthday in 8 days, but sad news. You never know. I don't know what's going to come out of it. Hope it was, not that he something that he was dealing with or whatever, but there's really no details on what happened. So probably in the coming days. So yesterday we had a good conversation about the Titans. We heard from Mike Vrabel. We heard from Robert Woods. And we heard from Kevin Byard. And tell you what, the Robert Woods part of it is encouraging, right? Because I'll say it again today. I think this is encouraging where he is, and I get it. It's OTAs. It's not, you know, Derek has pointed out perfectly already the challenges that come with being an NFL receiver. Like, it's a whole different game than running around out there in shorts and OTAs, you know, than playing an NFL game on a Sunday against the Giants. But I think it's really encouraging. I would be at this point, and I said it yesterday and I'll say it again today, I would be surprised, guys, if he is not upright, active, and available and making catches against the Giants to kick off their season. I think they're going to have the guy. I think he's going to be ready. Now, obviously, setbacks could happen, but I don't know. Just listening to him yesterday, we played his presser. He's a smart guy. He's got good direction, you know, with his rehab. I think he's going to do things the right way. I think he has been doing things the right way. And I think he's going to start off the season probably as the Titans' number one receiver.
Well, he's going to have to if the rookie doesn't, you know, progress the way they want him to. And listen, there are very few rookies that come in at the receiver position, even though the game affords them to come in now. The really good ones that leave college and come to the NFL, the game is such that it affords them to be able to jump right in the car and go. And if Treylon Burks comes in, you know, say like some of the other receivers in previous years, first round receivers in previous years have come in and just hit the ground running, then, you know, that would be a plus for the Titans. And they won't have to rely so heavily on Robert Woods. But if there's any if the learning curve is a little bit, you know, steep in a sense for Treylon Burks and he's not quite picking it up the way you want him to, then a lot of pressure is going to be on Robert Woods, which to me, that's the concerning part. A guy coming back from an ACL and then all of a sudden coming to a new team, you expect to – you know, you expect to have that number one guy in A.J. Brown. So your timetable can slow up a little bit because the pressure is not on you because you have A.J. Brown. Well, A.J.'s not there anymore. Now the pressure ramps up. And what do you do as a player? Do you just continue with your rehab the way you need to and take your time? Or do you speed that process up? Well, even though he may not want to speed it up, it's going to happen. And my concern is him not being fully ready to be that number one guy day one when the season starts. Now, will he be playing? I'm pretty sure he will be playing. He will be out there. But will we get the Robert Woods before the injury or will we get the Robert Woods that's still working through the injury? That's the concerning part because you don't have A.J. Brown now. You know, when you had A.J. Brown, okay, you take your time.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
Now it's no taking your time, even though
I think that's
still.
That's a good point. I think, you know, you're leaning on him. Mm-hmm. You're going to lean on him because you got a rookie opposite or you've got a lot of other guys trying to break in with a new role. And so you can't exactly work yourself in if you're Robert Woods. It would be really nice if he is full strength, but I think realistically, there's so many variables that you just pointed out there. I just don't know that you can say I can count on him from day one and everything's going to be great. It's going to be a perfect fit. I hope it is, but I just don't know. That's going to be tough. How many times have you seen a person coming off of an ACL, even with his team he's always been with, have to work their way through some issues. It doesn't usually happen instantly that you're back ready to go full speed. There's a process that you go through. The old adage used to be, it took you a whole year before you feel like yourself.
Well, with that being said, do you think he will see preseason action?
Man, I don't think call, he will see. Yeah, it's a really tough call in his situation.
Because on one hand, if you want to get him some real reps, some live reps, or do you use that practice time? They are practicing, right? With a couple of teams,
well,
are they not?
That's going to be
how
the
about
test.
That?
Yeah, that's
maybe
going
that
to be the test.
Uh-huh.
I think they practice with Tampa and
who's
another
team.
I forget what the other team is. Who the other team
is? I'm just throwing stuff out there. Is it Carolina? I don't know. We'll look it up.
But it's that's going to be when, you know, you can kind of, you know, you would want to see how the knee is holding up, because that's giving you as real of a game time look as you're going to get. Even
is it
if
Arizona?
It might be Arizona.
I think it's Arizona.
Even if you're practicing against your own team, you're not going to get the same feel as if you're practicing against another team. So that's going to be a telltale sign whether he's ahead of the clock, or if he's right where he needs to be, or if he's a little bit behind. So, but then you got to be careful with that, because the last thing you want is for him to go out there and get hurt in that practice. And then everybody will be saying, why is he practicing with those
guys? There's also the mental side, too. And I went through this, of course, at age 40. But you get back. But, you know, with any injury, you have this. Uh-huh. But you get back out on the court, right? I had an ACL. Mm-hmm. There's just a mental thing that you got to go through. You start doing what you're doing, but you're thinking about it. Right, you're saying everything okay here? Like, okay, we're going full speed. Got to make a cut. Everything's still okay down there? Like, there's just that little alarm in your mind, or, you know, just caution in your mind that you have to get through. And then once you get through that, then you're playing without thinking about it. But there's got to be at least a period of time. It's probably different for everybody, where you just have to have this everything okay down there process, and that can't be easy. Because it's hard enough to play the game when you're at full strength. Is that fair? Like, I mean, I would think a pitcher coming off of a Tommy John surgery has that same thing, right? When you unleash that first couple pitches, everything's still okay in there? You know, it's a natural feeling that you have to have. When you're really going full throttle in a game for the first time. And that's why I think you're right, Derek. Sanctioned practices or whatever, that's going to be as close. That's going to be a really good marker for him, I think, where he's going to go through that process. Hopefully you get it through in those weeks. And if you don't have a setback, then that's really going to help you when the actual game starts.
I remember, Derek, my first steps, you know, when I thought I was through rehab, walking to the broadcast table to do a radio show. I remember, to Willie's point, it was, you're just making sure everything is intact and
stepping gingerly.
It's kind of the same thing, right?
Like, okay. Kind of. Okay. No. Yeah.
Well,
I know what Robert Woods is going through.
No, but
Darren, I can talk to him. I can talk to him.
He's already doing that. Like, we all do that, too. You get, you're actually taking the steps in the physical therapy, but that's a whole other arena, right? You're sanctioned. You got a physical therapist right next to you. You got a program. That is part of the process, too. But I'm saying when they turn you loose.
Yeah.
And say, okay, you got your brace on, or hey, you want to wear the brace, you don't want to wear the brace, and you cut it loose, it's still uncharted territory.
When they would put out like the free food and we were going to the break, like that first cut, like right going to the break for me to get to that table to get some food, that's when I knew the ACL was intact.
That is a good test for you, Dan.
We made that first cut to the biscuits.
Like, we were at Kitchen Notes, and they brought out the biscuits. That first cut, we're like, and we'll be back. I knew
explosive.
My ACL was intact. I really did.
You know, you had the
I'm
explosive
back.
First
And then I went right and then left around Philly to get to the biscuits first. That's when I knew my ACL was
good. We all kind of nodded our heads. He's back.
Willie's like, he's back. Look at that. In fact, he's faster than ever. Look how quick he got to the jelly.
Oh, man.
My gosh, who's his doctor?
I need to see that guy or girl.
All right, we'll come back. More on the other side. We'll talk to Jonathan Hutton at 11 o'clock to begin the second hour a little more. Titans and the news that was put out yesterday on these airwaves. We'll do that here coming up shortly. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. We agree. Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you.
Well, quickly, what we did forget to mention, I think it happened either yesterday or is it happening today, the Titans reap the benefits from releasing Julio Jones finally. So I think they get what, 8 point something or 9 point something.
9.5 million.
9.5 million back toward their cap. So that may allow or afford them to go out and, you know, get another wide receiver. I know they did sign a wide receiver yesterday, a former Atlanta Falcon. I think his name was Jawan Green. Am I
sure? Yeah.
Am I pronouncing it right?
Yeah, you could say.
I mean, listen, he's not.
You could say Trent Green. You could say Trent Green.
He's not a marquee player, obviously. But they did make a move yesterday. They released one of their tight ends, and they signed a wide receiver, a former.
How do you think Julio Jones is going to do with this new team?
Oh. Here's the deal. I think he's going to do better.
Do you like the system he's in?
Julio?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who? I guess. Only Julio knows. Whatever system he's in.
That's a trick question.
Exactly. But I think his next stop will be better than his stop here. Because I firmly believe that he and Vrabel bumped heads. I think it was before he was called out about the blocking, but I think that kind of heightened it. And ever since that, you know, call out, he wasn't the same player. They didn't use him. He was in and out of the lineup. Even if he was healthy, he was in and out. On critical plays, he wasn't in the game. I don't think he ever, you know, became a part of that team and what they wanted to do. So I think his next stop will be much better than his stop here in Nashville.
But that's without even knowing. I see who he's playing for right now. He's playing for TBD.
To be determined.
I wanted to see who would Google that first.
I'm looking at SpotTrack. It's listing him as TBD.
No, but I truly believe that. I just think if indeed he gets on another team, which I'm pretty sure he will, but it would probably be during camp, I think his impact on that team will be much better than it was here in Nashville. I just don't think he and Vrabel ever.
But how could you say that? Like, he's basically, I don't want to say irrelevant. That's a little strong. He hasn't been the same in 3 years.
But he had 400 yards here, so only thing you could do is go up.
Well,
he had four touchdowns.
What did he have, 35 catches?
400 yards and I believe one touchdown, 35 catches. No. If he's
but
the
he
number
did
two.
Get back. Like, if he, you know, I would think at least he's got the ability to go tell a team, look, I finally did get right towards the end of the year, and I looked a little bit more like myself. He was not the dominant player, but he was a useful player. I mean, just to try to be kind about it. But at 33, I don't know what he's going to wait for. He's so used to making huge dollars. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to graduate to this point in his career where he's going to have to take a very low-level deal. And hope that he bounces back.
I just don't know what's left. I mean, he just doesn't look the same. He just, I mean, right. the same.
He's gonna
not
have
even
to take
to
a
that.
Prove it deal, right? He's gonna have to take a 1 year prove it deal from somebody.
And he doesn't seem like that type. He just doesn't.
Well, he's gonna have to get over it. Yeah. He doesn't have a choice.
He can be his own worst enemy, and we've seen throughout the NFL where marquee players—I don't care what position you're at, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, defensive tackle, whatever—when they've played at such a high level and made a dollar amount for so long, and then their play starts to decline tremendously, they are still living in the days that they were the marquee guy. And they can't get over that they're not the marquee guy anymore. So it's hard for them then to go to another team. You know, one, because of the money. And then two, you're not in the same role that you're accustomed to. So you got to try to change your mindset and to be able to fit the role that you're currently in now. Not the role you used to be in, the one you're in now. I had to go through it my last year. It was like, okay, now I got to fit into this role, even though I felt I still could play and everything else, because my production never dipped like Julio.
Yeah.
It was just like a...
You never had a 35 catch season.
Exactly. But I still had to... It was hard for me to train my mind to think, okay, now I'm not the guy
You're not
anymore.
The focal point of the offense.
Exactly. And that's hard to do. When you've been that guy for so long.
I don't, but here's the thing, I could be wrong, but I just don't see the same fire with Julio Jones. Mm-hmm. Maybe earlier in his career, but like the last 3 years, especially, let's just go off the last year here. Mm-hmm. I know you're fire because I saw it. Mm-hmm. I covered you. I know you're fire. Mm-hmm. And Lord knows we've had fun on the show about it, mm-hmm. especially with Rick Neuheisel. I just don't see him being like that. I think once he got paid, he seemed to me, again, this is just my opinion, he seemed like his belly was full and he really wasn't hungry anymore.
I think everything that we worried about when they made that deal, even though everybody was really excited about the possibilities, everything that we thought could potentially be a problem
happened. Yep.
Was a problem.
Yep.
He had the health problems. I thought they tried to go out of their way to make him feel comfortable. Like, take the last game, the very first pass that was intercepted, that was Ryan Tannehill, and you know this is on Tannehill as much as anything else. But I think the play was, hey, let's get Julio going, mm-hmm. right? I thought they did that several times in games. Hey, let's call this play. I'm going to Julio Jones here. We got to jumpstart this whole thing, mm-hmm. and they did it several times during the season, and it didn't really, it never got him going. You know, and then the whole thing about adjusting to a new role, all of those things kind of manifested themselves. So it just blew up, which is unfortunate. So I wonder what's next for him. I want to do this with you guys on the other side. Chase and I did this on a day where neither of you guys were on. I've got the list of the other TBDs listed below Julio Jones, available veteran wide receivers uh-huh. that are out there. I just want to know if there's anybody on this list that appeals to you guys.
Mm. Okay, let's do
because they're
going
to need somebody.
We'll come back and talk about
some. It'd be nice to add somebody.
Some TBDs to end the first hour. That's next. Don't forget, you can also watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on the DDC on this gorgeous Thursday morning. Hope everybody's having a great day. We'll have some tickets to give away before we get out of here today to a really cool show at Ascend Amphitheater, Train, Jewel, and Blues Traveler. But first, we end the hour talking about TBDs.
All right, these are available wide receivers. All right, Darren, I'm starting with you on this one because Derek kind of gave me a limp noodle on his feelings about this particular player. But
this was the soft handshake?
Yeah, very soft.
Yeah, handshake. Just kind of a,
nice
just,
to
it
meet
wasn't
you,
a whole lot
really.
Of, yeah. Yeah. Will Fuller, age 28, we know his story, right? When he's on the field, he's pretty good. He has a lot of trouble staying on the field, injuries, suspensions, et cetera.
Yeah, he comes with His middle name is Samsonite. He certainly comes with a lot of baggage, for sure. He is dynamic when he plays. I've had him on my fantasy league, and I've enjoyed good weeks, and I've enjoyed a whole lot of misery with Will Fuller.
History with Vrabel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that history's good.
Exactly.
He's got history. I'm not sure if the history's good or bad.
Yeah. Okay.
My guess is bad. I think overall, you know what you're getting with Will Fuller. Mm-hmm. You're lucky to get a half of a season. He's going to get you, 40-something catches if he's around enough. And, that's basically what you're going to get out of him, and 500 yards. So are they looking for that guy? I don't know. He can stretch the field. We know he's fast. He has burst. He has a small window where there's like a week or two. Mm-hmm. He's going to be dynamic. But then how about all the times we're going to be talking about, and today's Titans inactives, Will Fuller.
I could argue, though, Derek, that if I got five or six good games out of him, that's five or six more good games than you might get from who you have right now.
Well, if you're getting them at $1 million, then yeah.
That's the question. The price is the key.
Yeah, less than $1 million. Take a guess how many seasons he's played. I mean, in his career, how many seasons has he played over 11 games?
If you were going to say full season, I was going to be like none.
Yeah, yeah.
None. That's easy. How many seasons has he played?
This would be what? Year seven, I think, somewhere around there, six or seven.
So six seasons.
Just say six seasons.
How many times did he play more than 11 games?
Uh-huh.
Start or just play?
Just play.
Boy, I'm going to – there's no way it's half, so I'm going to go two.
What did you say, Willie?
He's never.
He's played one.
One. Okay.
One season, his rookie season, where he played over 11 games. Yeah. One.
Yeah. In 6 years.
In 6 years. One season.
But it'll get better with age. He's like a fine wine. It'll get better. Oh, wait a minute. No, it won't. It'll get worse. Yeah. So,
well, he only played two last year, so he should be fresh to start this year.
He starts fresh every year, so that's a no.
That's like 9 good games. Okay. A fresh Will Fuller is 9 really good games.
Yeah. I mean, look, if he's going to come here for, some hot chicken, and just come here, for $15 an hour, sure, bring him on.
Right.
But if you got to pay him.
Last year, your term was shopping to TJ Maxx, right?
It's not TJ Maxx. I'm sorry.
It's not even.
No.
All right. Okay. Listen, not TJ Maxx.
Nothing against Goodwill. It's got to be Goodwill.
You think it's Goodwill? Yeah. Well, okay. Hold on. You might think Will Fuller's a TJ Maxx after I tell you the rest of the guys on this list. All right. So there's Will Fuller. Okay. Because we just got the check, right? Like Derek said, June 1st is here. You get the check in the mail from the IRS. You get your money back for Julio Jones. So you have a little money to spend. You got to spend it wisely.
Is that like what they call it? The child check?
Tax credit.
We got like $250 bucks. Okay.
Yeah, a little action there.
All right.
All right. Mr. T.Y. Hilton? Mr. T.Y. Hilton, age 32, coming off of an injury-plagued season with the Colts.
No, Willie.
Who?
Exactly.
T.Y. Hilton. Well, I just told you. I led with Will Fuller. You guys were like, I don't know. But here comes the
Torrey Holt. No.
T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton. No, Willie.
That's a no.
It's a no.
Do you want him to be a fifth wide receiver? Then maybe.
Look, I'm just giving you the list. You may not like the list.
I'm thinking Nate Washington is a better option than T.Y. Hilton.
Exactly.
Come on. No.
At this, and Nate's about 50 years old. I'd take Nate. Nate, if you're listening, I know you're not 50. But I would take Nate over him, okay?
Yeah, that's a no. I don't even need to look at anything. Yeah.
T.Y. had 23 catches for 331 last year in 9 games. The year before, he still had 762.
That's a pass. That's a hard pass. Yeah.
He will be 33 when the season gets going. Okay.
If we're playing, go fish.
Go fish. Here's your next one. Okay, you're going to fish. Here's the next one. Cole Beasley.
You know what?
Okay.
He's
older than T.Y. He's older than T.Y. He's 33.
He was productive last year. Yes. He was on somebody's team last year playing.
Well, so was T.Y., right. But he
really wasn't playing.
I know.
Yeah. They were just
Cole
like,
Beasley.
Is he like a like was, a like a?
They, he had a really
kind
good
of a
year.
Coach, really, yeah. Right?
Pretty much so. Yeah.
Now Beasley, as we know, slot guy, possession guy. You know, he's going to average less than 10 yards a catch. Mm-hmm. Is that what the Titans need, though? He was productive in his role. He was much better the year before, his first year with the Bills, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I think Kyle Phillips is supposed to be the young version of Cole Beasley. But the question is he going to be ready?
Exactly. So,
because that's the guy they want to be Cole Beasley, right?
They want him to be in a slot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beasley did catch 82 passes last year. But
yeah, that's like four seasons for T.Y. Hilton.
Exactly.
Well, only 8.5 yards per catch.
It's okay.
He was not nearly as effective.
How many of those moved the sticks?
Yeah.
Not as many as the year before. He really had a good year. 82 catches for 967. So almost 12 yards a catch. Much more efficient. But he does what he does, right? He's going to get open. He's going to maybe move the sticks for you as a slot guy. I don't know if that's what they need.
He can move the change when it's
but so far that's more appealing.
You wanted us to leave the door. You wanted us to leave the door cracked for Will Fuller. We just shut it and we locked it. So he's out. Yeah. Will Fuller's out.
T.Y. Hilton.
Cole Beasley is now in the room with us. Yeah. T.Y. and Will Fuller on the other side. We've locked the door.
All right. Can I interest you in Emmanuel Sanders,
Cole,
age 35.
Have a seat right over there. Yeah. We'll get to you in a minute.
Now, Emmanuel, that's...
Emmanuel Sanders, age 35. Mm-hmm.
Only played for like $1.5 million last year.
That's an interesting one.
What were his stats last year?
Last year, 42 catches, 626 yards, averaged almost 15 yards a catch, 4 touchdowns for Buffalo.
See, that's an interesting one. But here's the problem. With bringing him in, because I think if you bring Emmanuel in, he automatically becomes a 2 or 3 because of his production. Now, he's not going to get a lot of production in Buffalo because, you know, they had their guy. That's where he was last year, right, Buffalo? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was like the number 3 receiver
exactly.
for them last
year. So they had Stephon Diggs. So Stephon's their guy. And then they had a tight end that's pretty good.
And Cole Beasley.
And Cole Beasley got his catches.
Gabriel Davis, too.
Exactly. So
that's the guy who's moved forward.
He's the number
that's
2
That's the guy
now.
Put on
he's
the clinic the, in exactly. the game against
yeah,
Kansas
he's
City.
He's the now the yep. number
so,
2.
Which is but why that, Beasley and Sanders are
yeah,
TBD.
That would be, honestly, that would be an interesting one. But what does it do to people like Nick Westbrook-Akina?
Exactly.
That you kind of see is making that step to becoming, you know, a bona fide 2-3 guy. Does it set him back some? Because if you bring Emmanuel Sanders in here, he becomes your 2 because he still can play. Even at that age. You don't want to bring in a veteran like that when you're still hopeful of the young guy that you have. Because now what it does is it sets him back some. Or it could, you know, expedite his learning curve, and he could have a really good season. That has happened too. But what I've seen in that, in when it comes to receivers, when you're trying to get that young guy and then you bring a veteran guy, it typically takes a little bit away from that young guy that you're trying to really develop. But it would be an interesting move if they did make it. It would upgrade the team, I believe, if they went out and got Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay,
because I think he's going to be productive.
Let me give you another guy that's in the same age category. The ever-present at this time of the year, DeSean Jackson, who always seems
that's
to be out
no.
there available
a
for
no.
a one-year
no.
deal.
No, go join. Will and T.Y. are out there. That
what
that
was
away,
DeSean
sir?
Jackson? He was
DeSean
with the Raiders,
Jackson
right?
last year played for 2 different teams, the Rams and the Raiders. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. The Rams and the Raiders, 20 catches, 454, 23 yards a catch.
2 teams that threw the ball a ton. A ton. And he had 20 catches, and you want him to come to this offense?
Well, he only got it thrown to him 34 times.
Yeah, and he'll get it thrown 4 times to him here, so I'm a no.
That's another interesting.
That's a no.
That's 2 catches for 75 yards and maybe a touchdown.
Yeah. Okay, great.
But what do they need? They need a guy who can get deep.
He's a field stretcher. That's what he is. He is a secondary mover. That's what he is.
Is he a pot stirrer? How is he in the room?
That's the thing. We don't know.
Is he a pot stirrer?
Yeah. So if he's – that's where, you know, John and Vrabel have to do the homework.
Is he – right, but is he worth that? If you have to do homework on – is he really worth it? But we're talking about minimal.
We're talking about the bargain
minimal.
Bin here, right?
It's a bargain,
bargain bin.
Yeah.
Well, he would be worth it if you're bringing him in for $1 million.
I know, but Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders seem like a little bit more better bargain bin material for me.
It seems like you wouldn't get – there would be no issues with those guys if they came
it
in.
It doesn't feel that way.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
We got to go to the break, but let me give you the best.
You didn't
of the
hit
rest.
Me with the home run.
Okay,
one.
Well then we got to save it.
You didn't hit me with the home run that I thought you was going to hit me with. But we'll save that one for
we'll
later.
We'll save it because we got.
There's a home run.
Yeah, there's a home run one.
Oh, hold on.
On the list that I'm looking at.
We'll save it for the second hour, but we'll come back. We'll continue the discussion. Jonathan Hutton, OutKick 360. He'll join us to begin the second hour next.